Welcome to the Worthing Podcast, our regular look at people, news and events in and around Worthing.
I was worrying at first when I first put it out there. They were coming in slowly and slowly and slowly, and then over the last couple of weeks my inbox has gone crazy. I checked on last night and we're at 506 people that have been nominated now.
It began last year and generated a lot of sort of interest, and we hope it just brings the interest levels around Worthing up and the reputation increases culturally around the local area.
Actually, a couple of weeks ago, one of my friends asked, like, how did this happen? And I was very open with it, and I said, this is what happened. And I've created this charity with my mum to help other people to get through the stage that I was at.
The Worthing Podcast with Patrick Woodward.
A little taster of what's coming up in today's Worthing Podcast. In case you don't already know, there's a lot of creative talent in and around Worthing. Whether that's music, drama, art, design, film, history, tours, workshops, it's all coming together in the Worthing Festival. The festival runs from the 8th to the 23rd of June this year, and it's the second year of running. It's being facilitated and promoted by Worthing Council, and many artists and creatives have come together to make it work. I spoke to one of them. Thomas H. Green is from the Cellar Arts Club, a major independent venue in the town. He told me what the Worthing Festival is all about.
Well, the idea is to boost Worthing, put it more culturally on the map. It began last year and generated a lot of sort of interest, and we hope it just brings the interest levels around Worthing up and the reputation increases culturally around the local area.
Now, there has been quite a lot of interest, hasn't it? You've got quite a lot of acts and events lined up.
We've got loads of things lined up. I'm mainly focused on the music side because I'm facilitating the music aspect of the festival, helping facilitate the music aspect of the festival. But yes, there is a lot of things in all areas. There's a lot of things in all areas, ranging from children's stuff to more widely films and culture.
So kind of something for everyone would be quite an accurate description.
I would hope so, yeah. I'd like to think there was something for everyone. I think there's over 100 events of different kinds going on all around the town during the period. And yes, there should be something for everyone.
Right. Let's talk about the music then, because that's one of your main interests.
Yes, yes.
What are the different events, some of the different events that you've got?
Well, I'm the chair and events coordinator of the Cellar Arts Club, so I'm going to put that rather cheekily first. We've got a lot of things on. We've got everything from Richard Norris of the band The Grid, who's doing a Q&A there. But I'm very pleased to have a female duo called Xylaroo playing an acoustic set there. But we've got lots of things on. But across the town, there's everything from tons of tribute acts, like T-Rextasy and Daft Punk and things like that. Worthing Philharmonic Orchestra, they're doing a series of concerts that are built around art and pictures, based on art and pictures. But the festival runs right across from Ukrainian folk dance to drum workshops to jazz gigs at the Toad in the Hole pub, to the Heen sessions, which I'm heavily involved with as well. We're putting on a series of concerts in the Heen church rooms. But even right down to sort of brew houses like Beer No Evil, they're putting on their Hear No Evil sessions, which are acoustic performers like Carter Sampson, the Americana singing lady, and Angel Snow. Hare and Hounds, of course, have been a place in this town where jazz has been played every Tuesday for forever, and they'll be doing sessions there on Tuesdays. Audio Active, they're having Dad LaSalle, Will and the People, and various other things on there. I could give you a more extensive list, but that's probably enough for you for the moment.
So are the acts drawn exclusively from Worthing, or have you gone wider for acts?
We have focused on Worthing acts. I think, musically speaking, our watchword was original and originality. So that's kind of what we focused on. Most of it is from around Worthing. There are things that have been drawn from a wider geographical area, and there are things that are not, they're not original, like all the covers bands that I just spoke about. But most of it is original material. Oh, I tell you what I do have to mention is at the Han Brewery, the Worthing Techno Militia are putting on a screening of the cult film Tetsuo, The Iron Man, and they will have a sort of it'll be a sort of experiential thing where you dress up and go along, and it'll be, and then they play music afterwards. It sounds quite exciting too.
So it sounds like a very wide range, sometimes quite eclectic range of stuff that's on during the festival.
Absolutely, yeah, there is an eclectic range of material that's on. I mean, as we said at the beginning, there's something for everyone. But I think, you know, whether you like hip hop or you like acoustic music or you just like jumping up and down to bands, covers bands playing Rammstein and Rob Zombie songs. And there's a lot of jazz and funk as well going on. So, yeah, there's plenty for everybody, I think.
Worthing is a growing town in many ways. There's new building going up. There's new housing going up. People are coming into the town. What would you say to perhaps a newcomer in Worthing who's wondering what there is around in terms of music and entertainment?
Well, Worthing, when I moved here in 2006, was still quite famous as the place with the highest percentage of centenarians in the country.
Yes.
But it's moved on a great deal since then, particularly in the last 10 years. And I would say that, especially if you come from a vibrant city like London or Brighton, that you might not immediately see where the culture is as you do in those cities. But in Worthing, if you look around and you make an effort, it's all going on. But it's not just thrust into your face like those sort of urban environments. You have to kind of poke about a bit. But it is there, and I think that's really exciting, because if you make the effort, you can uncover these little gems, and that feels more like a sort of an achievement if you find these things. And that's how they blossom and become things that everybody attends to and loves.
There's lots of venues, aren't there, actually? I mean, you think of the sort of the major venues in Worthing, like the Pavilion and the Assembly Hall and the Connaught, but beyond that, and of course the Cellar Arts Club, beyond that, there are a lot of different venues that are coming to the fore during the festival.
Well, this is a time nationally when small venues are having a problematic time, and Worthing undoubtedly feels this as well. But yes, there are. There's a lot of venues that work together rather than against each other to try and make Worthing itself an exciting place to live. Everywhere from Coast on the seafront to the New Amsterdam, some of these places are pubs like the Toad in the Hole and the New Amsterdam, which are putting on events as well. And the Charles Dickens over in West Worthing, they have a room downstairs which is increasingly exciting, putting on metal gigs and other things. But yes, there is a wide range of smaller venues as well as the larger ones such as The Venue and The Factory Live, who are also putting on some quite exciting stuff at the festival as well. They're putting on a female African musical, which I think looks very exciting.
I mean, at the end of the day, the main people behind this, it's a council initiative. But do you think it's drawing in lots of other people to make it more of a community event rather than simply something the council's putting on?
The council facilitating it, but they're not. The council, for all sorts of reasons, can't invest greatly in it. So they're relying on the roots culture that exists in this town and working with those people and those entities and promoters and musicians to make something happen. They're supportive of it, and they offer us a kind of way of disseminating the fact that the festival is happening.
Just finally then, what are you most looking forward to?
I'm really, really looking forward to seeing Xylaroo, who I mentioned at the beginning. And they're playing The Cellar. I know that sounds biased, but I believe that their album Sweet Tooth is one of the best albums of this century. It's a beautiful album, two female singers interacting. It's not typical of the sort of music I like, which tends to be a bit more boisterous, but I just think the combination of the sweet harmonies and the voices with a kind of darkness and mysticality and edgy lyrics, I just find it completely compulsive. So I'm really, really looking forward to that.
Teeth are rotten and your eyes are spotting, all the years forgotten, yeah, you're older now. Sit there rocking on a broken guitar, all the crooked tunes drown out the beat of your heart. Ooh.
That's a taster of musical duo Xylaroo, one of the acts you can catch at the Worthing Festival. Thanks to Thomas H. Green for bringing us up to date. And you can find out more, including all the acts and dates, at timeforworthing.uk/events.
News and views of Worthing, the Worthing podcast.
Now, when someone close to you dies, it's always devastating. For children and young people, the effects can be even more traumatic. It was out of such an experience that Kayla Shepherd founded Andy's Angels, a charity designed as a safe place for young people affected by bereavement to come together, meet others who've had similar experiences, have fun together, and if need be, talk about their feelings. Kayla started Andy's Angels 3 years ago, and it's grown rapidly to be quite well known in the area and gained widespread support. Once a month, they open a grief play cafe at Hope Hive in West Worthing. And I went along and talked to Kayla, her daughter Millie, one of the volunteers, and a parent. I started by asking Kayla what they'd been doing that day.
So today we've had Teach Me Kung Fu in the high school hangout room, and they've been just teaching skills to the young people that have been in here. So we've had that. We've had planting seeds. It's been Earth Day on Monday, so we had planting seeds in the craft area. And then we've just had free play for the young people and children, and also some yummy food in the cafe area with hot drinks. We've welcomed five new families to the Grief Play Cafe today of Andy's Angels, so it's really nice to welcome new families in today.
So tell me about Andy's Angels then, what actually is it?
So Andy's Angels, we are a bereavement charity. We offer a couple of services, and the first one is a Grief Play Cafe, which happens one Sunday morning a month here at Hope Hive in St Dunstan's Road. And then we also run weekly bereavement, an intergenerational bereavement choir for anybody who's lost a loved one as well.
So why are you doing it, Kayla? What's behind all this?
So in 2017, my husband Andy died suddenly. And at the time, my daughter Millie was 7. And of course, found that quite isolating. Losing her dad, felt there were no other children that were going through the same thing, and thought that actually that's not the case. There are lots of families going through similar things. So that's the idea of how Andy's Angels and the Grief Play Cafe came, so that children could be around other children. They're experiencing similar things, and it's quite like it's a silent understanding when you're in the rooms. Everybody knows that somebody's lost someone.
You say it's a silent understanding. So are you here to talk about your feelings?
Not necessarily. If families do want to, there are volunteers who are trained to be able to listen to the families if they want to talk, but there is no forced talking. Sometimes some new families come in and we don't know for months what their grief journey is, because actually we want them to feel welcome and comfortable anyway. So it isn't necessarily just to come and talk. Sometimes it is just to be around, knowing that the people in the room are going through similar things. Our Grief Play Cafe is run and supported by volunteers, and pretty much all of them have lived grief experience themselves. As a charity, we also support those individuals as well. And I think we give them opportunities to help and grow in their own grief journey as well. So it's not forgetting about those, because we couldn't run this cafe without all those volunteers, because they're absolutely amazing.
So how unique is what you're doing here?
Very. We are the only one in Worthing. In fact, we're the only one in West Sussex that runs a Grief Play Cafe, and also the only intergenerational bereavement choir too. There's lots of adult places for adults to go to, but not necessarily for the children.
Tell me about this choir. Sounds fascinating.
So every Tuesday evening at Heen Community Centre at 7:30, we've got a lovely little choir to start off with, because we only started in January, but we're hopefully building. We have a brilliant choir. In fact, we have three choir leads who help and come up. So the songs that we've been concentrating on is we've done What About Us from Pink. We've also done Seasons of Love, that's from the Rent the musical, so different songs like that just help us kind of bond, because music and singing is really good for our mental health and well-being.
And it's an intergenerational choir, so you have the whole range of ages there.
So we've currently got three children that join in with all the adults as well, so there's about 12 or 14 of us at the moment who come together for a good old sing-song.
Okay. That's Kayla Shepherd. This charity is not about adults telling children what to do. In fact, the young people have a key role, as they have a team of youth ambassadors. One of those is Kayla's daughter Millie, and she explained how the loss of her dad affected her.
After my dad died in 2017, similar to what my mum said, I felt very isolated with no one around me. And I remember one, I think it was evening, my mum was like, "What do you think of this idea?" And I was like, "Yeah, I think I would really need something like this." And that's basically where the idea came from. So, yeah.
So, but do you feel you want to talk about your experience with your friends, or have you passed that point now?
I think that actually a couple of weeks ago, one of my friends asked, "How did this happen?" And I was very open with it. And I said, "This is what happened." And I've created this charity with my mum to help other people to get through the stage that I was at.
So how does it help you being here?
It's a very safe space, and I don't feel like that I have to talk. I come here to have fun see people that I love being with and being with my friends, and I think that it's very, I'm very comfortable here. Yeah.
Now you have a role. You're the youth ambassador for, yes, Andy's Angels. What does that mean? What do you have to do?
Actually, we've got a team of our youth ambassadors. They're absolutely amazing, and we come up with ideas. For example, we've got the Spring Fair coming up. Different ideas for that, like tattoos, like glitter tattoos, and different activities that go on in that space and time for that activity.
What do you think you can bring to Andy's Angels that maybe older people and parents and so on can't bring?
So obviously we are similar ages to these children that are coming to the Grief Play Cafe. For example, some children feel uncomfortable, especially I was when I was younger, I felt uncomfortable talking to adults. So when we created this space, I felt more aware that I can talk to people, especially my age, because I felt more comfortable talking to them.
Superb. Okay. Cool. Thank you very much. Thank you. Great. Good. Thank you. As we move on round now, Sarah, you're one of the volunteers here. So what's your involvement with Andy's Angels?
So I get to come along on a Sunday and basically play and join in with the crafts and activities and work with the young people or families that are here.
Why would you want to do that?
I think it's just an amazing space to come. It's not how you anticipate it being. So it's a very warm, welcoming place. Like Millie said, it's a very supportive, nurturing place. And I think people can, at their own pace, talk about how they're feeling if they want to. If they don't, they don't have to. So it's not a sad place to be. In actual fact, most of the time, it's happy, cheery, lots of laughing going on. People do have those times where they do want to talk to someone, and there are members of the team that obviously that can then be pursued with them.
What can you say to them? Because an experience like that, a bereavement experience, losing somebody so close, mm-hmm, a parent even, is so traumatic. How do you have the words to say?
I think for me personally, I've experienced grief and loss, but I think sometimes it's not about what you say, it's about just being there and listening. And I think sometimes just telling people that they're doing the right thing, that there isn't a right or a wrong answer, and that there are other people that are struggling, and sometimes just by talking can make it just a lot easier for them to deal with. And I think, you know, that becomes for the parents and for the children. And some people aren't talking, they don't want to talk about how they're feeling, it's either too raw or they don't know how to put it into words. So I think just being in a space like this, people have an understanding and awareness that people are here with similar experiences, and that's okay. And I think the wonderful, beautiful thing about it is that you see the parents connecting, and actually the children, they may be very different ages, maybe children that wouldn't necessarily mix at school and things, but actually when they come to the cafe, the supportive, nurturing side comes out of them, and actually it's almost like a massive family together. And yeah, it's just a really nice place to be.
That's Sarah Goodrich, one of the volunteers at Andy's Angels. I think the message I got from the people I met and the general supportive, caring atmosphere of the Grief Cafe was one of acceptance. Loss is hard to bear, and Andy's Angels offers a unique place to be yourself. Whether you're an adult or a young person or child, you don't have to talk about your experiences, but you can do if you want, and you'll be accepted. They tell me that the mere fact of being among others who've walked a similar path is in itself a healing process. Katie Shepherd is one of the parents who bring her children to the Grief Play Cafe. She told me what she'd been through.
Back in 2019, we lost my dad. It was very sudden, and unfortunately, both my children were with me when we found him, which was heavily traumatic, both for me and for them, massively. And then we went down into lockdown, and that was extremely isolating. But like Millie talks about, everyone felt isolated. Two children who didn't know how to express how they were feeling. And then when we came out of lockdown, Kayla had reached out to me and explained this amazing Andy's Angels charity that she was linking up with. Initially, I kind of felt almost like I was cheating coming here, because my boys hadn't lost a parent as such, I had. And I didn't really, I felt like it should be more of a story, but actually coming here, I can't express what it's done with my two children. They feel safe, they've experienced things that they never would have experienced before. I've got a son who's got learning needs and high anxiety, and he's just done so much. He's done audio active events, he did horse riding last week. And it just brought tears to our eyes just seeing him. It's just like therapy. And the actual cafe, It just has like a mutual understanding. You come here, it's such a joyous place. We're not sitting here sobbing. We're not sitting here talking about our experiences. We will share what's happened, like when we feel comfortable with people. It's just a chance to see our kids happy and safe and being kids again. My child, especially my youngest, really lost how to be a child. He became very serious, very scared of the world, and just being able to see him like free playing and just happy. And then we found that within that week of being at the grief cafe, he quite openly would talk about what was going on and was processing that grief. So it's massively helped.
The focus here is obviously children.
Yes.
But you're an adult.
Yes.
How do you find it? How do you find it helps you?
I think it just makes you feel, I think life becomes very serious when you lose somebody. And you become quite a serious person, and it enables you to just not think for a couple of hours and just be able to have a conversation with a hot cup of tea, which is very rare, and just feel guilt-free because you know your children are having a really lovely time. So it really helps, and there's friendships that have been built and, you know, people I've opened up to. And I'm always, always trying to introduce new people to here because I just think you gain so much out of it. Yeah. And no matter what your story is, you will gain something from being here.
That's Katie Shepherd, one of the parents, who comes with her children to Andy's Angels Grief Play Cafe. My thanks also to Sarah, Millie and Kayla for taking part. If you'd like to find out more, either to attend the Grief Play Cafe or become a volunteer, you can meet them at their spring fair on Saturday the 11th of May from 2:30pm at Heen Community Centre. And their website is andysangels.org.uk.
Podcast
with Patrick Woodward.
Finally, Worthing is full of unsung heroes, people who do amazing work in all kinds of fields, often without recognition. Well, now some recognition is on its way. The Worthing Community Awards take place on the 13th of June, and nominations are coming in hard and fast. The categories include Dad of the Year, Mother of the Year, Young Carer of the Year, Teacher of the Year, and many more. There are 14 categories in all. The awards are the idea of Mel Peters, who's often to be found supporting charities and businesses in the town. She's brought together a team of judges, Richard John, Ian Hart and Angie Deeprose, all notable figures within Worthing. I met up with Mel and Angie and first asked Mel why she set up the awards.
I've been thinking about it for a while now because I'd been thinking that there was something missing in Worthing because we haven't had any community awards since 2014. And then last year I went to the Child of Sussex Awards and then the penny really dropped while I was there that I was watching all these amazing kids get all these awards and be nominated. And I was like, this is exactly what we need in Worthing, but not necessarily just for children.
This is the thing, though, that there are other awards around. So why do you think there's a need for this in Worthing?
The Worthing Native Business Awards are absolutely amazing, but they're just for businesses. So, you know, there's so many amazing... I remember when we were at Child of Sussex Awards, there was one child that had cycled across France with one arm and raised all this money for charity. And I was thinking, there's so many kids out there that do caring, and there's so many mums that do amazing things. So I sat down with Bob Smitherman and sort of worked out some categories. And we want everything, every single category is community based. So there's nothing in there at all linked to anybody that's running a business. You could be anybody and anybody that could be nominated for the awards.
So give me a feel of some of the categories.
Well, we've got the Bravery Award, which is one that's very special to me because my friend's daughter won the Bravery Award at the Child of Sussex. And sadly, she passed away in November last year. So we've done that award in her memory. Mm-hmm. Another great one is the Dad of the Year Award. There was a gentleman called David Sawyer who was one of Worthing's finest photographers, and sadly he passed away with a short battle of cancer last year. So we've done the Dad of the Year Award in his memory as well. So we're also accolading some of the awards back to some of the other great people in Worthing that are no longer with us.
Yeah. So what's the response been?
Oh, it's been amazing. I was worrying at first when I first put it out there. They were coming in slowly and slowly and slowly. And then over the last couple of weeks, my inbox has gone crazy. I checked on last night and we're at 506 people that have been nominated now. On every single category has got an abundance of nominations in there. So there's plenty for the judges to be choosing from.
And you've got one or two local celebrities.
We have. We've got George Dow, who's just been awarded an MBE from Worthing Football Club. Mm-hmm. He's coming and he's going to do a few minutes on his story and his disability, which works in line with the Disability Award. And then I've just had confirmation that Robin Cousins, who is the Olympian, he's going to come along and present the outstanding contribution to Worthing.
What do you think an event like this does for the town?
I think it just brings people together. You know, we're all going to be sitting in one room. We're all going to be eating fish and chips out of a box. There's not going to be any hierarchy. There's not going to be any three-course meals and bottles of champagne. Well, the bar's open at the end of the day. And I just think it's just going to be bringing different people together from different communities and just celebrating everything that's great about Worthing and the people that are in it.
Also with us here is Angie Deeprose, who's one of the judges. So let me come around and talk to you. What did you think when you were asked to be a judge?
I was honoured, really. I mean, I think what Mel's doing is brilliant. It's, you know, getting all the community involved. And as she said, anybody can be entered. So, and it gives us highlights of what people are doing, because a lot goes on behind the scenes that no one ever hears or sees. Or, yeah, so I think it's a really nice thing.
So when you think about the process of judging, how do you think you're going to sort of go about it when you're faced with all these nominations for the different categories?
I'm glad there's three of us. So there is, you know, there's going to be a unanimous vote in whichever category we choose. I think it's going to be very daunting having so many nominations. But, you know, I'm glad to be a part of it. And I'm glad I've got two other people, Ian and Richard, to help me make the decision.
Do you think there'll be particular things you'll be looking for in some of the categories?
I mean, everyone's story is different. I can't say until... I mean, obviously, I haven't seen any of the nominations yet. So, you know, I'll be looking for people that have done outstanding charity work or, you know, caring work, young carers, and, you know, just things that have make people stand out and that have gone above and beyond and just deserve a little bit of recognition.
Will it be difficult, though? Because you can't give everybody an award. Some people are going to be disappointed.
Yeah, I get that, which is why I'm glad there's three of us, so that I don't have to take all the blame. but, you know, every one of these nominees probably deserves an award, you know, and to be nominated, I think, is an award in itself. I think, you know, it's a fabulous thing that someone's thought that highly of you to nominate you, so they should be very proud of that as well.
Local business leader Angie Deeprose, one of the judges of the Worthing Community Awards. The awards take place in rooms in the Gilbourne Centre on the 13th of June. Nominations are closing soon, so if you'd like to find out more and maybe nominate someone, just search Worthing Community Awards. I'll be away on the day, but I wish them all well and look forward maybe to talking to some of the award winners later in the year. And that's it from the Worthing podcast for now. I'll be back soon with more amazing things happening and the people doing it in and around Worthing. In the meantime, why not like us on Facebook, follow on Instagram @podcastworthing, and join me again soon. Until then, from me, Patrick Woodward, goodbye.
News and views of Worthing.
The Worthing podcast.
With Patrick Woodward.